Hey, it's Lori. I am excited to bring you today a second part of an in-depth look at the Buckeye Trail. In this episode, I am interviewing Mei-Ling Lieber, who is a thru-hiker of the Buckeye Trail. And we talk about her section hike of the Appalachian Trail right before she went to the Buckeye Trail, her participation in the Warrior Expedition Program. She gives me a good overview of that program as I didn't know a lot about it before interviewing her. And we also go into then her time on the trail and what she made of it. I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview with you. And I've included links in the show notes so you can follow Mei-Ling, how you can find out more about her Buckeye Trail through hike and ask her questions if you're interested in maybe setting out on the trail. So take a listen to my conversation with Mei-Ling. So welcome. I'm here with Mei-Ling Lieber. Thanks for joining me.
Hey.
So I actually got connected with you through Andrew Bashaw. He had recommended you as someone who has thru-hiked the Buckeye Trail. So I'm really excited to talk to you about that today.
I am also excited as well.
So first, maybe just, you know, I haven't had a lot of chance to talk to you ahead of time or anything. So a lot of this is going to be all brand new to me as well. So first, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background? Are you a longtime hiker, new to hiking? What's some of the story behind your hiking and outdoors, you know, life?
Well, I grew up always liking the outdoors. I was never like a person that said, I'm going to go hiking. And that's pretty much what I want to do for the rest of my life. But I've always been a fan of being in the outdoors. I've loved nature. I've enjoyed doing any sort of outdoor activity that you can think of beyond hiking. So like I've been fit, like I've ran before, done cross country. I've enjoyed doing like a lot of water sports, like kayaking, canoeing. These things have like always been part of my life. And then when I was younger, I always had wanted to hike on the Appalachian Trail. And it was like a lifelong goal of mine. So when the opportunity arose, I was like at a point in my career where I said, hey, I'm kind of like getting to the point where I can afford to like do this kind of thing if I want to, because I'm getting older. I can either wait till retirement and then after I'm done with that, then go and travel the world, or I can kind of do it right now and use what I have like with my youth and just like enjoy this time. And then I can go back. It's sort of like it was like taking a gap year when you're like 30 instead of taking a gap year at 18.
Well, I think that's great though. Yeah. I think everyone should try to do that. You see, there's not a right age. There's not, you know, just do what works for you.
Yeah.
So you did that. Did you do the Appalachian Trail then?
That was the intention starting out.
Okay.
I had actually done a little bit of it and really enjoyed it.
So what parts did you hike? What kind of sections did you do on the AT?
So I was going to do an entire through hike. That was my goal from the get-go. But there were a lot of, I would say, limiting factors, because I had also applied to the program that I told you about with Warrior Expeditions, and we were unsure of what was going to happen. So I was ready to make adjustments if the time came and I needed to like either switch trails or continue on the trail. So I started hiking there around April 9th of 2017. And my original plan was just to do like a really long stretch. So I started hiking at Amicalola Falls, which is like the approach trail to the Appalachian Trail. And you're nodding your head like you've been there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The Amicalola Falls are great. And yeah, it's like, what, 8 miles to then get to Springer Mountain?
Yeah. And I know I'm going to get flack because I'm calling it the Appalachian Trail instead of the Appalachian.
I think it just depends on what side of the country you're on, but I've been conditioned now to call it Appalachian. Just
yeah.
just now in my head, but Appalachian, whatever you call it, is fine.
Yeah.
So you started out at the Falls. How far did you go?
So at that time, I was with my friend and I had a friend, Georgia, and she helped me drive to Fontana Dam. So we were going to do that stretch. And that was,
okay.
I think that's about, say, it's a good like 300 miles or so thereabouts.
So like right before the Smokies hit.
Yes. Because I was also hiking. Another thing that made it a little bit challenging was I had my dogs with me. Yeah.
Yes. Well, okay. So let's talk. What dogs do you have?
I have two Dobermans and...
Okay, so not little dogs, right?
No. And I guess that was kind of like my niche, because like when everybody starts, like, you know, everything's like new, it's exciting. People are like just getting accustomed to hiking. So they like bring all this excess stuff with them, right? Like, you'll see people with like 50-pound backpacks. So like, not that like my dogs were extra gear, but just like, you know, being with them, we're embarking on this adventure and I've never done it before. So we don't know what to expect, because a lot of people, like when I had done the research, they said, well, it's not advisable to hike with dogs just because like their paws can suffer from like the rocks and stuff on the trail, and then just like general fatigue. So that was a risk that I took, but I did want it to be something that I did with my dogs. So I made the decision, and they actually thankfully went all the way, to Fontana Dam with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you went all the way to Fontana. So yeah, that's a ways to hike with them. So how did you manage with the two dogs? Were they pretty much in step with you? Was it hard, or did it work out? Like, you know, did you get acclimated, you know, kind of right away?
Well,
I just have these visions of, you know, just dogs like trying to take off and trying to, you know, get a good cadence going.
Yeah. Well, there's another piece of the story I didn't tell you, but I was also dating someone at the time, and he came with me on the trail. And so he was like, I'm going to give him a shout out here, because he was very instrumental in helping like take care of the dogs and making sure that they were fed while we were like setting everything up at the camp and whatnot. And then, so when you first start out, what I really, really like about the Appalachian Trail is you're starting with a bunch of people who have never done this before either. And so you will tend to form groups and like kind of a strength in numbers type deal. Like everybody's like learning this all together. So you form a group of friends, and we call it a tramly. So like, cause like contracted for trail family.
Trail plus
yeah.
Trail.
So we call it like a tramly. So pretty early on, I had developed a tramly of like, say, 10 to 15 people. And we just—
That's a pretty big size group.
Yeah, well, you should see how many people start out. That'll be a common theme when you talk to people who have hiked on the AT. So I started hiking with this group, and luckily they were just very much into my dogs. Like there's this couple, especially in the tramly, where they just wanted to take pictures of my dogs. Like not like me, but just the dogs and them. So I was very lucky and fortunate that they enjoy the presence of my dogs, because, you know, sometimes people are a little bit wonky with respect to like dogs.
So they made it the whole way. And like you said, it wasn't just you plus the two dogs. You had a friend with you, the guy you were seeing at the time. And then of course, others who were probably, you know, you're all working together. So that was in 2017. And when you got off at Fontana, what were you thinking? Were you like, okay, this was great, it was a great experience? Did you want to do more?
I did want to do more, to be honest with you. I did want to do more. Right before I got to Fontana Dam, that was when I was told, oh, you're going to have to go to the Buckeye Trail. And that was kind of like a bittersweet moment for me, because I kind of wanted to continue hiking with the tramly that I had developed on the AT, However, at the same time, being with the dogs was going to present a challenge, like I could tell, because people were starting to pick up the pace. Because when they get through the Smokies, that's when people start like hiking their, not everyone, but most people will start picking up to like 15 to 20 miles a day. And I was just kind of concerned, and I didn't want to push the dogs through that if they weren't able to go through. And another thing is dogs aren't allowed in the Smokies.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just the Smokies or also Shenandoah, but I know that definitely the Smokies, you can't have animals in that section, you know, the AT. Yeah, so then, you know, you'd have to like either have someone watch them or go around and then skip it, and then you would not be with your tramley anymore. So exactly. Yeah, there's lots of, yeah. So let me take a step back, because you talked about being told you were going to go to the Buckeye Trail, and I don't think we really talked about this part, but you were hiking as part of Warrior Expeditions.
When I started on the AT, that was purely my own venture.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't affiliated with Warrior Expeditions. Although I always joked about, hey, I'm going to catch up to the Warrior Hikers, because they had started, I'd say like 2 weeks before I did. So they had like their group, everybody took pictures, their photo op, like in March. And then they started as a group, but they were typically a big group, maybe of like 15 people. And then because I guess the success rate of completing the AT is pretty low, like only about 25% of people actually make it. So typically, like as you go along, you know, more and more people get off the trail. But I was trying to catch up to that group. And then I joked, I was like, hey, can I just like, you know, assimilate into this group? But, I don't regret that though, because I really enjoyed hiking on the Buckeye Trail.
What's the concept with the Warrior Expeditions for people who may not know? And I know just a little bit about them doing, you know, hiking things together, but I don't know enough to really explain it.
So Warrior Expeditions was founded by Sean Gobin. He's the founder of Warrior Expeditions. And another, I'd say, colleague of his, well, another Marine captain, when they got back from four tours, like in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they created this concept because Sean just felt a need after he came back from his deployments to, I guess, process what he had experienced over there. And he started hiking, like doing these long distance hikes. So he also said that he wanted to do a complete through hike of the Appalachian Trail. And so he hiked, I don't remember what year he did it in, but he completed his through hike, and he said he found it very, very beneficial for him, like as far as just like giving him the time and space that he needed to process everything. And so because of the benefit that it gave to him, he said, well, I think other veterans would like the same experience as I did. However, not everybody's going to be able to have like all the gear and whatnot and the support. So I want to create a nonprofit organization that's going to be designed exactly like that to help veterans who are transitioning out of the military, either transitioning out of the military, or they just are maybe coping with some things in their life that they're not able to fully process. So this was like a wilderness outdoor therapy type program that he started. I actually didn't know about it until I was ready to get out of the Air Force. And a coworker of mine actually showed me what it was. So I applied and had my interview, and they said, oh, you're good to go.
Okay. So did you get out then in 2017?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you got out, you wanted to start the AT?
Yeah, I was just a little bit unsure at that time what I was going to be doing.
So when you were told you were going to do the Buckeye Trail, how much time did you have then to transition and get ready and figure out a game plan?
That's a good question. I knew what my start date was going to be for the Buckeye, which was 4th of July. And they purposely chose that date, you know, because it's a symbolism for America. And so I had known that I needed to be there on that date. So I made the preparations, like, because as you can imagine, you would think, oh, well, was I on the trail at that time? And did I have to like catch up? But I actually planned it, I think, in time to where if, even if I didn't make my end date, I could still get picked up and driven to my car because I had parked it there at Fontana Dam. Luckily, I did have ample time to get to Ohio and start in Cincinnati because that's where we started.
Is Ohio home to you or?
It's not my home. However, I've okay. actually spent a great deal of time here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys started in Cincinnati. So how many people were together, I guess, in your group of going to attempt the through hike of the Buckeye Trail?
So starting out, it was me and another guy, his name's Preston, and he's a Marine, so ooh-rah. And yeah, we had actually never met each other before the trail.
Like, so it's just both of you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're just thrown it together.
And, yeah, pretty much.
And you gotta get along. You gotta.
Yeah, yeah. We're like a trail couple.
But if you think about it, I mean, I guess being in the military, you kind of have, you're able to adjust and adapt.
Yeah.
And you know, are put with strangers all the time as you come together into, you know, a company. So, okay. So just the two of you. Wow.
Yeah.
So how was it when you started out in Cincinnati? Were there some challenges or did you guys just kind of figure it out? Yeah. And just go.
We started out, like, thankfully in the program, they don't just like hand you gear and they're like, go on your merry way. Because, you know, some people don't necessarily come from a hiking background. Like I had just gotten off the AT. So I had what you call my trail legs, but like a lot of people are just like, you know, from couch to trail. So
Preston had to catch up with you, right?
I wish I could say that.
Okay.
Actually, I took like the fun tour and he took more of the traditional tour.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sean actually was there and we also had Natalie. She's also another person on the leadership team at Warrior Expeditions, and they hiked like the first 2 days with us.
Oh, that's awesome. So you have company. It's not just you two on your own. They're acclimating you, probably making sure that all is good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it was more like, so we would hike during the day and then Sean has this Winnebago that someone gave him and he's pretty proud of it. So he would like tow it to the place that we were going to camp that night. And then, so he would basically hike with us and then we would spend the night all together. And for the BT, for those people who have hiked it before, they know that it is pretty challenging to find places to camp because of how non-traditional of a trail it is.
Yeah, I had interviewed Andrew, you know, Bashaw, executive director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things covered is that when someone does a through hike of that trail, he really recommends that they talk to the association and try to help with logistics. So did you have support the entire way or was it just in the beginning when you say Sean had the Winnebago?
So yes, we had support throughout the entire trail through VFW organizations, which is really, really cool. That wasn't like every night, but we had VFW posts that we would go to along the way and we'd call in advance to schedule like and make the necessary arrangements. That was a great big help.
So in that sense, kind of like trail angels where they're taking you in or helping you with shelter and resupplies and things like that?
Yeah, remember I said that I kind of took like the fun tour around the Buckeye Trail. So I actually compiled some statistics of like where I camped, and what type of camping it was along the way. So I'd say like half the time I actually slept in like someone's house or like,
There's no
yeah,
shame in
someone's,
that. No,
yeah.
seriously. I think the thru hike is how you want to do the thru hike.
Exactly.
And with the challenges that the Buckeye Trail has logistically, it's probably the best that you could do is to have
Right.
some of that arrangements. Still, you're kind of meeting new people and still having that kind of situation. So the times you did camp, was it at kind of campgrounds? Did you have to try to stealth camp anywhere, or how did camping work?
So in the beginning, it wasn't too bad because, you know, our first few days were planned out for us. And then it all depends on, like, I'd say the section and what kind of information they have provided to you. Because the Buckeye Trail is divided into 26 sections. I think Andrew might have told you that. And each section has is managed by its own, I guess, say, section manager. And then they will publish like camping information, whether or not they have shelters. Like there are a limited number of shelters on the Buckeye Trail, but they do give like recommended places that you can camp. But to be honest with you, most of the time, I would like look and see where I could probably make places during the day. Like I'd get up that morning and say, oh, well, maybe I'll camp here. Like usually that wasn't done more than like a day or two in advance, unless I was meeting up with like a VFW supporter.
I guess also, since you had just come off the AT, what was your gear situation like? Did you use the same things that you had on the AT, or did you switch it up?
They provided us Warrior Expeditions through sponsors, provided us with gear. I kept mainly the same, or I kept all of the gear that they gave to me, with exception of, well, I added on a few additional things like an inflatable pillow, sleeping bag. I did end up using my own sleeping bag, but for the most part, I used the rest of the gear.
What kind of tent did you have? Do you remember?
I had a big Agnes, single person big Agnes. I think it was not the Fly Creek. I have to remember
That's okay.
it.
And did you do like trail runners or boots?
Yes, I prefer more like trail runners. My favorite are Salomon's. That's my brand that I stick to. At one point, I was just using like my regular running Mizuno shoes because the Buckeye Trail actually has a lot of like flat pavement, and it was actually like really messing with my hamstrings because if you can imagine like just like constant pounding on the pavement, it was actually more detrimental to my joints, my ligaments than hiking on AT. So I actually switched to like now I understand why Grandma Gatewood was hiking in those Keds because, you know, you just needed
Yes.
cushion.
No, that's a good point that you're having some road walk in there as well, and how that can be challenging. It's 26 sections, and I know from earlier when I spoke to Andrew, I think it's 1400 miles ish.
Yes, 1,444.
Okay, I got the fours in there. I was going to say, because you did come off the trail, I'm sure you were able to hike, a little longer days, but I don't know how did you mix it up? How many days did it take you to do the entire Buckeye Trail?
Roughly 4 months.
4 months.
Yes, I remember finishing. Actually, I finished about actually yesterday. It was like
Oh,
my
so it's your
anniversary is,
trailiversary.
yeah, yesterday.
Ah,
Thank
happy trailiversary.
you.
I know we didn't have a chance to talk about this ahead of time, but did you then, because you were doing it for Warrior Expeditions, I don't know, were you doing a journal or anything kind of for them, or was there, or just for yourself?
Yeah, we didn't have like an official trail journal for warrior expeditions. However, I did want to do something that I could look back on and just be proud of my accomplishment or just like remember those memories. So I mainly communicated with people through a Facebook group. And I'd post stuff, and that way people could keep track of me. And if people wanted to hike with me, then they could communicate with me through that platform.
Oh wow, that's awesome. Did you have then some people who just came to hike a day or a section with you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I had some regulars.
Well, you did say you took the fun tour. Okay, so you and Preston started off together, but did you really hike it together? Or did you kind of meet up at certain sections? Kind of how did that end up?
We had like a trail marriage and then a trail divorce.
Okay, so let's talk about both. How did the trail marriage go?
It was good. Like you're starting to get to know each other. Yeah, he's a really nice guy and very respectful. Yeah, we had a lot of good conversations. He's more of like he likes to grind though. Like he likes to go those 20, 30 mile days, and that style was a little bit different from mine. So yeah, I think he really enjoyed like, yeah, just going with it. And he rarely, I think, stopped in towns like as often as I did. I think he was definitely like, the Bear Grylls type, like wanna just hang out in the woods and make
Yeah,
a
get
fire
it
and do all
done.
that. Very,
Okay.
yeah.
So you did some Neros or Zeros then, kind of hanging out in towns.
Yeah. And
What were
then,
some of your, I guess, favorite trail town or town experiences?
near Wakeman. Yeah, that's up in Northeast Ohio, I think. I remember that because I was actually looking for a place to camp that night. And so I was going through the town of Wakeman. It was still pretty early in the day, so I could have like made it somewhere. And then I go by like this Eagles establishment, and people are hanging off the balcony going, "Hey, what's going on?" Because I think it was a Friday night, and I had on all my gear, and I'm just like, playing along and joking back and forth with them, like I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" So they just like let me in. I got to know all of them. They were playing bingo. It was really cool. I set my backpack down, and all the questions that people normally ask when they see me with a big backpack, like, "Who are you? Where are you going? Like, are you by yourself?" Like all of those questions. It was more of like an entertainment for them. And then they turned out to be the rowdiest, best bunch I met on the trail. Yeah. But just super, super nice. Like bought me shots. There's even one lady there, was like, "Oh, you remind me of my daughter." So like she invited me to her house, and like I actually spent the night there.
And yeah, I think when you hike, and if you're really wanting to be open to it, you can meet so many interesting people and have those connections just by, allowing yourself to
Experience
have them,
it.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. So it sounds like you were open to that, and that's why you met so many great people, and like you said, had people hiking with you along the way as well, and hanging out and supporting you, whether it was through the Trail Angel part or just, walking along with you or following your Facebook. So, what were some of the challenging pieces? I know we talked about the road walking and the how it was on your body, but what other challenges did you face?
Yeah, the physical part was definitely, I'd say, the most challenging for me. I actually was concerned that because of the road walk, because I suffer from plantar fasciitis, and I think a lot of hikers would also agree with me that it's a pretty big deal, and it can be quite painful and be debilitating. So at one point, I actually thought I might have to get off the trail because of that. Thankfully, I was able to push through it. So that was good. Another challenging thing, well, there was like being a female and walking by yourself, you know, it's great because I get to meet a lot of really friendly people and they would approach me. Whereas Preston told me he did not get the same type of reception, unfortunately.
Probably if you were hiking when you're with Preston, they probably would be less approach you as well.
So there was this one incident. Thankfully, it was the only incident on the trail where I was actually kind of worried. And I'm not going to name or bash the town because I don't think it's a reflection of the town. I just think it was, you know, wrong place, wrong time. And I was wanting to camp near this waterfall because that's what I love doing. I love camping near like natural formation, like waterfalls, really beautiful views. I was going to camp there and it was getting a little dark and there was like a guy there that just kind of made me feel a little uneasy. But luckily I was near a road that had an Uber and like Lyft. So I was able to I just made the decision to get off there because I didn't want to like risk anything.
So you went with your instincts then.
Yeah.
Before a situation, you know,
yeah,
came up. No, but that's a good point. You know, I talked to a lot of people who, you know, or read things on, you know, Facebook about, you know, women and solo hiking and, you know, people that want to do it, the women that want to, but maybe their significant other doesn't want them to, or they're scared because of being in a situation where they, you know, feel threatened. So, you know, what kind of advice would you give to the solo female hiker out there?
I would say first and foremost, just be alert. I would say don't let that stop you from wanting to do what you want to do though, because I think that was a percent of my entire trip, you know, like the rest of it was so amazing. And I would do that again in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Like just because of maybe one incident that thankfully did not turn out for the worst, but, I can absolutely understand the concern. So I think that's a level of personal risk that you're willing to assume, but things that you can do to mitigate it are letting people know where you are. So then that's more comforting, just having that, lifeline in case you do run into a situation. The Buckeye Trail thankfully has reception among most of the places that it is. The only places that it doesn't have reception are, I'd say southeastern Ohio, but it's so remote and there's hardly anybody there anyway. So contrary to what you think being back in the woods, it'd be more dangerous, but generally speaking, the less people there around, the better off you are. So if you do find yourself in a situation where you do feel like you're in jeopardy, just take comfort knowing that you do have cell phone reception. And then if you want people to keep track of you, they can easily. And then just if you want to say yourself have something on your pepper spray, a knife for personal protection, then that's up to you.
Thinking of that, you know, obviously you said that was 1% or less than 1% of your entire experience.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what some of your favorite sections of the Buckeye Trail. I know that it's varied by what, you know, I had read. You know, there's parts that are the Appalachian foothills, as well as some of the flatter parts. So were there certain sections that you thought were part of or felt like were your favorites?
Absolutely. Northeastern Ohio, Cuyahoga Valley. I had never been to that part of Ohio before. And it was I almost didn't even recognize it as being part of the same state. So that was a pleasant surprise. I really enjoyed the well-maintained Cleveland Metro Parks and the staff they had there were amazing, including two maintenance guys. I'm going to give a shout out who helped me find my phone when I accidentally dropped it into a waterfall.
Oh, wow. Was it usable after that?
It was.
Did you have to put it in rice or did you just...
Well, this is a testament to those cases, those LifeProof cases.
Oh, yes.
Yes, made by a parent company, OtterBox. Those cases, they work.
So we know you like the waterfalls enough that you dropped a phone in it. So you talked about the Cleveland Metro Park area and Cuyahoga Valley.
Hinckley Reservation is another one of my favorites. Oh, it's beautiful. The rock formations there are gorgeous. And you would never know, like other people I talk to in Ohio, they have no idea these places exist. I think there's the upper loop of the Buckeye Trail is absolutely gorgeous. And then of course, everybody talks about Hocking Hills. Hocking Hills, I'd recommend doing Hocking Hills early in the morning. When the crowds are less thick and you can just see some really beautiful scenery there.
I've never been to Hocking Hills and it's
really?
I know. And I'm not that far away. I think it's like 5 hours away. I did map it out. But I was wondering, cause you do see that it's, I think Andrew gave me the stat was like 4 million people visit a year, as much as like Yellowstone National Park. And so it's a very, very popular destination, you know, of course, for good reason of, you know, the beauty of it. But was there any kind of shock of like, you're going from these like more remote areas, and then all of a sudden you're here with all of these tourists and day hikers and, you know, what was that like?
Oh, so I heeded the advice from a previous through hiker, actually from War Expeditions, who had told me go in the morning. So I purposely camped like just outside of the park to, you know, not alert the rangers. And I went through there pretty early. But yes, by the time I got to Ash Cave, which if you hike from the eastern part to the western part, I believe. Yes, that would, I just took my time through there to really enjoy the scenery. So by the time I had gotten through to Ash Cave, I'll say that nobody even really noticed me, to be honest with you. Like, even though I had a big backpack full of gear and my hiking poles, I think like nowadays, I'm glad this is the case. There's a lot of people I think do backpacking, so it's not uncommon to see somebody like with all the backpacking gear. Like, but at least I did feel in my element. I didn't feel like, you know, I'm walking through this town and people are wondering where I'm going and why I have two hiking poles. But I really enjoy that because I felt like I got to experience the peace during that morning, but then the crowds came and it was like, you know, just kind of like gave me a moment of, I would say, clarity.
So when we started too, we were talking about the mission of the Warrior Expeditions in a sense was also to allow people to process things and to, you know, use that time on the trail to transition, you know, when you're coming out of the military, you know, the experience. How did you use that time to process?
What did I get out of it?
Yeah. What did you get out of it?
That's a great question. I had felt like the military life, I enjoyed a lot of my time while I was in. At the same time, being, I'd say, accustomed to a life of like having like everything structured, where, you know, you know what you're going to do, or you're always kind of on the go and you're having to go through the regimen of a lot of things that are like being passed down to you. So this was a chance for me to just kind of like be on my own and experience the freedom. Like, I think I discovered about myself that I'm more like free spirited. Like I do like having a life that's more, I'd say, like go with the flow. And so I use that. I think that was shown in why you saw why I took the fun tour, because I pretty much li I the way I approached hiking that trail was that way, just like go with the flow, whatever I felt like doing that day. If I wanted to do 20 miles, I would do 20 miles. If I, wanted to cut my trip short and hang out with people, then I could. And so it gave me a chance to just kind of like do something that was my own, and I felt like I could be my own person, and just like enjoy what every day had to offer. And so I mean, I think that's, you can like turn this into a like a philosophical thought, like where you say, oh, well, that's how you approach life. You'll just take things as they go, kind of deal. So it was at the end, it was a very nice, I'd say, relaxation to just kind of have the freedom to do whatever I wanted, and then like I would say just live more of like a simple life.
When you got off trail, it sounds like also you've done some things to give back to the trail. Obviously, you've said you mentioned that you gave a talk for the Buckeye Trail Association for one of their events. But before we started recording, you also talked about being a trail angel for the Buckeye Trail. So tell me a little bit about how it was to switch it up and then be on the other side.
I can not worry about like how much I'm gonna hurt the next day. It's a joy being a trail angel, because like I can understand what how they're feeling, and I liked it because I felt like I was doing something, even if it was just like showing up and giving them like beer, for to them it's a big deal. And because I remember that, like, because every little thing matters, like when you're hiking. It's not, because like you tend to slow down, you tend to like notice little things around you, you tend to just live in the moment. And so I was really happy to do that and like bring joy to these hikers' lives. In the military, this is one thing I do like about it. You always feel like you have a connection to people. And it's kind of like the same thing when you're hiking as well. Like you feel like you have a connection to the other hikers no matter what. Like they can be doing something completely different in their life, or they could have come from a different background, but you both coming together to share this moment, that's the same. And so I really enjoy doing that for being like a trail angel, just like sharing part of my life and then like getting to learn about theirs. That part was really enjoyable to me.
And I have to at least mention that you had said you think you were a trail angel to Luke Bouchat, which I know his wife through podcasting she's been on. So I thought that was what a great connection.
No, Luke is great. Both those guys, I think they did a much better job hiking than me than I did. Luke and Chad.
But okay, so besides the trail angel experience, were there any other ways that you were giving back?
I was given an opportunity to do trail maintenance near Ravenna, town Ravenna. I can't remember what the park's name is
Where
called.
is that at for someone who has no idea?
Where is that? That is
Yeah, where's Ravenna?
Eastern Ohio. It's near a lake, but I can't remember the name of the lake. Near Ravenna, Ohio. And that's memorable to me because one of the BTA members that I was in regular contact with, he had been in Vietnam. He was a Vietnam helicopter pilot. And he and I would make fun of the Marines on a daily basis. So I don't think Preston liked
I was going to say, was
that
that part of why there was the trail divorce?
too much. But yeah, really, really good guy. He said, hey, here's a way that you can earn your maintenance badge for the Buckeye Trail, because that's another thing that people like to get Like when you do these trails, you get patches and certificates and things like that. So this was like a way for you to earn a maintenance badge. So I decided to go out there, and I would say they have a very primitive way of taking care of the trail. But every single person there was, I admired how fervent they were in keeping the trail beautiful, keeping the trail clear, because all we had were like shovels and those gigantic scissors, and that was it. Like no weed whackers or anything like that. But yeah, it was a nice break, you know, and a good way for me to give back to the trail.
And to meet some of the, I guess, others who were volunteers and probably also part of the Buckeye Trail, members of the Buckeye Trail Association, because I know you can become a member. So yeah, so I'm sure also the gentleman you met, you know, who had been in Vietnam had some great stories to share with you as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like you had mentioned, you know, the trail does bond you in many, you know, with all kinds of people. And I always hear, you know, the trail is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter where you've come from, how much money you make.
Exactly.
You know, when you're on the trail, you're like everyone else and you're all putting one step in front of the other. So for someone who might be interested in doing, I guess, first, you know, doing a through hike of the Buckeye Trail, what are some of the things you would tell them before they got started? Now that you did yours, what are a couple of things you would tell them to, you know, watch out for or to consider?
Well, I would say prepare for the unexpected, because the Buckeye Trail is different. I'm sure you will hear that time and time again from every single BTA member. They'll say that it's not the AT, and it's definitely not the AT. So if you're looking for, say, like a social hike, or if you really want something that's strictly like in the woods where you're going up and down mountains, you go through like trail towns, that's not how the BT is going to be structured. I know that they had said they moved a lot of the trail off road, but there is still a lot of the trail that's on the road. I think one of the members that I had talked to in the BTA said it best, just look at it kind of like a change of the seasons. Like you're going to be going through roads sometimes, you're going to be going through forests sometimes, you're going to be going through bike paths sometimes. It's up to you, like how you perceive it and what you make of it. So doing a through hike, it's not going to be like all rosy red the whole time, but it's not going to be terrible the whole time. It's just like experience, and then just enjoy it. And then I'd say, you know, with pretty standard, like do your research, get to know the Buckeye Trail Association members too. Like, don't be afraid to reach out, because one of the best things that I enjoyed about the Buckeye Trail, and this is like for a lot of trails in general, people are very supportive. People that you meet along the way, people who know about the trail, and like you have a chance to be like an ambassador and get people to be interested about the outdoors. So I really enjoyed that. Don't be afraid to, I'd say, get out of your comfort zone. We didn't talk much about the stealth camping, but yes, be prepared to do a lot of stealth camping, depending on how you are. If you want to do kind of like the hike that I did, I certainly welcome that. And I think that's great. If you're not able to, I'd say, necessarily find support, or you don't want that kind of support, then, I mean, you can absolutely still do this hike. It's just, it probably take a little bit more logistical planning, but generally speaking, the people are very supportive of what you're doing as long as they know what you're doing. So I think like communication.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. I think communication, like with law enforcement, communication with people who are like, I'd say like not necessarily, but like town leadership, is important. And you'll be surprised. even use you to advertise their town, because it's actually good PR for them to, promote you, because you bring attention to the town.
Yes, exactly. And then more hikers, you know, doing it, which means, you know, more people visiting.
Yeah.
And even for, you know, day hikes or section hikes, you know, that definitely increases the interest. So what's next? I know it's been a while since you did the BT, but you know, what other hikes and things are on your bucket list, on the horizon?
So I am taking a break from long distance hiking. Part of it's my decision. Part of it's, well, look at the current state of affairs of the world right now. But the hope is I want to get more into, I'd say, like the mountain climbing area. So on my bucket list next year, I've told a few friends I'd really like to do Kilimanjaro. And then after that, I'd really like to do other summits as well. So like with the goal of eventually doing like Mount Rainier or Denali, those are definitely on my bucket list. However, I would like to continue with long distance hiking as well. It's a goal of mine to do the PCT, as a lot of other hikers' goal is to do that as well. Maybe even the Camino in Europe, Del Santiago, yeah.
Yes. So yeah, so you're looking at international hiking and domestic hiking. You know, since you are on hiatus from long distance hiking, are you getting out as much as I guess you can, given that we are in a pandemic? Do you still, you know, get out with your dog, try to get on your local trail?
I try to get out where I can. I am starting a little cult here of trying to get people to go out and do backpacking. Didn't get to do much this past year, but I'd really like to just get a group out and go, because the nearest, I'd say, big wilderness near us is Red River Gorge. And I always like getting out there. Made a few day trips there, but not like extensive, say, weekend or week-long hiking trips. But yes, that is definitely in the future gonna happen, hopefully.
It will.
Yeah.
How can people follow you on social media?
I still have my Buckeye Trail Thru-Hike page. So you can just look, if you type in the search box of Facebook, if you write Thru-Hiking the Buckeye Trail with Mei Ling, or just type my name in there, Mei Ling Lieber, you can friend me and I'll add you to the group. There's been a few people that have messaged me and asked, like, because they were contemplating doing a Buckeye Trail Thru-Hike. So they've messaged me. I don't plan on doing a, I'd say, because I'm not actively traveling right now, I don't have like a site or a blog that I write. However, I will document my trip to Kilimanjaro next fall in August. So if that does happen, I might even put a link to it from my Buckeye Trail page.
Yes, that sounds good. Great. I hope you get out there. It's really, really a great endeavor to set out for. I will put the link to your Buckeye Trail page in the show notes so people can go out and relive it, say, search through, and also be able to ask you some questions.
All right.
If they're interested in checking out part of the trail or the whole trail.
Okay.
So. I really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you.
And telling me your story and giving me more insight into what it's like to through hike the Buckeye Trail.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed these two back-to-back episodes on the Buckeye Trail. I'm looking forward to giving you some more in-depth looks on trails, especially the lesser-known trails in the Midwest and beyond. If you have a suggestion for what you would like me to focus on next, drop me a line. You can email me, hikepodcast@gmail.com, or send me a direct message at The Hike Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And for some of the newer listeners of the podcast, I hope you go out and if you haven't done so already, leave me a 5-star rating and review so that others can find this show. I wouldn't be putting out episodes if it wasn't for your support. So until next time, see you on the trail.